Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Linda Hutzel Manning. You recently published a new children's story at Commandeer Press online. Linda, tell us about your Finding Mufette story. When did you first write it?
I think it's at least 25 years ago. It's based on a real incident, a cat of my, and the cat in the story is physically the same as my daughter Laura's cat.
Mm-hmm.
And it got out at night and it was killed. And she was so devastated, I wrote this story to bring the cat back. I had an agent at that point with my picture books, and I let her read it. And she was a cat person, and she said it was way too sentimental, and she wasn't the slightest bit interested in it. Then I showed it to another editor, and she said, oh, well, Canadian publishers really don't publish Christmas stories because they have too short a shelf life. Well, now that has all changed. On
yes.
So many levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I wrote it. And then after that, I just put it away and forgot about it. And then Commandeer Press was looking for short stories. And then I got the thing out and I thought, okay, I'm not calling it the Christmas Stocking Cat because Christmas is now such a contentious word in schools. And so then I started thinking, well, what will I call it? And because this cat, the real cat, was this beautiful long-haired black cat, and from under its chin, all the way down its stomach, and all the way to the end of its tail was white. So it had a reverse skunk stripe. And I just suddenly, for no reason that I know of, thought, I wonder what the word in French is for skunk. And it was mufette. And I just loved it. I thought, this is the greatest word. I really like this word. So then I had to toy around with, what am I going to put with that word for the story? And so I ended up with Finding Mufette. And I submitted it, and then, well, I think it was about 6 days later that Kirsten got in touch with me from Commandeer Press and said that she really liked it and they wanted to publish it. So that's how it happened.
That's great. I'm sure you have other projects in mind, Linda. What else are you up to? A few years ago, your novella, Heads I Win, Tails You Lose, was shortlisted for the Quattro Novella Prize. Are you tempted to write another novella?
Okay, when I submitted that, it started out as a short story. And again, it was because Alan Breezemaster came and talked to the Spirit of the Hills group and said they were looking for edgy things, and they had this novella contest coming up. And I remembered this short story that was actually a bit long for a short story. So I went on this furious thing, and I had to get it up to 20,000 words. They wanted 20 to 40,000 words for this novella. I got it to 20,214 words, submitted it. I got shortlisted, but then nothing happens because you don't get published and nothing happens.
But
so,
didn't you hear about the competition? Didn't you hear about who'd won it or anything?
Oh yes, yes. The person who wins gets published.
I see what you mean.
Okay, but the shortlisted people just get a pat on the head, so that's fine. So I took my pat on the head, and so then I found out that Malahat Review, which is a literary magazine based on the West Coast, has a novella contest. So my first concern was that, would I be not? And they had all these things, all these criteria about how you would be rejected if you'd had any of it published anywhere, or all these. And so I was nervous. So I sent an email saying exactly what had happened with it and would I still be eligible. And they finally got back to me and said yes. So, but the kicker was that they're taking a maximum of 20,000 words. So
lucky there were only 214 extra ones.
Well, I got it down to 19,988 or something. So I did that. And I also, my novel, The Tangling of Years, I got a rather brutal rejection. A lot of praise. It was a 2.5 single-page rejection with all these wonderful things about it. However, because it was a sequel, or it appeared to be a sequel, that's what really put them off. And they didn't like the ending. So I reworked the ending, and I have another editor that I highly respect, and she's actually reading it on her own time, which is very kind. So that's where the novel's at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And other than working on, now I'm just, I had to write this article, the marketing article, but it was only 500 words. Didn't take me too long.
What kind of marketing did they want you to talk about?
Well, I said to her, I'm not talking about general marketing because I've done marketing for like 35 years. And, you know, like marketing, it's all different depending on what you're marketing. So I said, could I just concentrate on marketing an online story? And she said, yes. So that's what I did. I basically just told what I did ahead of time and made up little pamphlets and pestered everybody. And
your usual way of going on.
Yes, that's right, exactly.
Right. So how about reading to us from Finding Mufet?
Okay, I'm going to start at the beginning. Finding Mufet. A handsome black and white cat stares out big glass doors, his long whiskers twitching as snowflakes swirl into drifts against the backyard fence. It's late afternoon on December 24th, and his owners, Caitlin and her mom, sing and laugh as they hang colorful ornaments and crinkly tinsel on an evergreen tree. The cat twitches his feathered tail and mews to go out. It's Christmas Eve, Mufet, Caitlin's mom says, and we bought you a Christmas stocking. He watches her pull three large red stockings from a plastic bag. Mufet mews again and picks his way around an empty cardboard box to sniff at the red stockings. He bats one and sticks his head inside it. Silly cat, Caitlin says, snatching him up. Your stocking is still empty. Mufet wriggles out of Caitlin's arm and runs to the door again. Meow, he mews plaintively. Meow. It's too late, Mufet, Caitlin says. You might get lost in the snow. Caitlin's mom turns on Christmas lights, and Mufet watches the twinkly colors sparkle across the snow-covered patio. He jumps onto his hind legs and scratches his front paws against the cold glass. Meow, he mews more loudly. Meow! Caitlin pulls the curtains across the patio doors. No, 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 Mufet, she says, pulling a cat treat from her pocket. Mufet turns his back on them and crouches down, closing his eyes into two narrow slits. Caitlin puts the treat down beside him and picks up one red stocking. I wonder what Santa will bring you, she says, running the stocking along his back. Mufet darts behind the Christmas tree to crouch down even further. Caitlin's mom pulls the curtains back a little. Look, Caitlin, she says, it's a perfect Christmas Eve. The backyard is covered in great cloud swirls of snow. The gate is open, Caitlin adds, still holding Mufet's stocking. I'd better close it, Caitlin's mom replies. She puts on her parka and flips up the glass door bolt. Where's Mufet? She asks before sliding it open. Mufet backs further into his dark corner behind the tree. Caitlin looks around the tree, behind chairs, under the table. Caitlin's mom even checks the hall closet. He's not here, Caitlin says. Maybe he went upstairs. The instant Caitlin's mom pulls open the door, Mufet races outside. Caitlin's mom turns on the back light. Mufet, she calls. Mufet bounds over white-topped flower pots and through frozen flower stalks. Mufet! Caitlin drops the Christmas stocking and runs out into a knee-high drift. Get back here! Mufet pauses. He flicks his handsome plume of a tail and disappears through the open gate. Mufet! Caitlin's mom shouts into the wind, but Mufet is gone. Caitlin and her mom trudge up and down the street. They call and look over back fences and under cars. Lights twinkle in every window. Christmas laughter floats out through every door. Finally, cold and discouraged, they give up and return home. Caitlin's mom makes hot chocolate, and Caitlin finds a big woolly blanket. You can wait for him on the couch, Caitlin's mom says, giving Caitlin a hug. He'll scratch, and I'll hear him, Caitlin whispers, tears tumbling down her face. He does have a name tag, Caitlin's mom reminds her. Maybe someone will find him. Outside, Mufet dances through drifts, banging snowflakes here, catching snowflakes there. His silky black coat glistens against the soft whiteness. He dives under a wheelbarrow and through a broken wire gate. He scrunches down to slink along a wet, woody hedge. His white belly hairs brush the ground. His whiskers twitch against the wind. When a scrap of paper swirls by, he leaps after it, skidding onto the street. Icy lumps cramp his paws, and he sits down to pull them out. out. The wind gusts up and down, swirling snow in his ears and mouth. He feels thirsty and turns to go home. Mufet crisscrosses into the closest house, looking for his own glass door. When a great shaggy dog lunges at him, he bolts back into the street. Where is his house? He sits down to lick his wet fur, then trots along street after street, from one house to another. Almost all have big glass doors, but never the right ones, and no one lets him in. Close to the park, lights appear through the heavy snow, and a car skids around the corner. Mufet jumps, but not quickly enough. The car's front bumper smacks his side, flipping him into a huge drift. He struggles up, and legs wobbling, stumbles to the bank of a dark, gurgling creek. Still thirsty, he moves slowly toward it, and sinking down near the water's edge, curls his white-tipped paws beneath him. Somewhere in the distance, the faint sound of bells echoes through the street.
Well, I know it doesn't stop there, but that was a lovely beginning. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, Linda. We're looking forward to the publication of your new memoir and
Me too.
New stories. Where can listeners purchase your books, Linda?
Well, you can get my novel, That Summer in Franklin, at Let's Talk Books in Coburg. The two children's time travel novels are out of print. I have copies for sale, so you'd have to contact me directly through my website. And the children's plays, that's playwrights, and they're so old that I can't imagine anybody wants them, but you never know.
Well, how long will Mufet be on Commandeer's online publishing?
Well, you see, that was the thing. I thought it was just going to be on for a week. And then it's still there.
Oh, I see. Well, at least people can look
at
that.
Anyone.
And actually, Commandeer Press is an interesting website to go to for anybody.
And now all you have to do is put in commandeerpress.com, finding Mufet, and it'll come up because so many people have.
Okay, so to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning into the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio.